Welcome to the Death Care Marketing Show.
What if your next pre-event family didn't come from an ad, but from a community event where no one was thinking about funerals? Today, we're talking about why being known before you're needed is one of the smartest marketing strategies in funeral service. Hi, I'm Mary Barnett, and this is the Death Care Marketing Show. We talk real funeral home marketing strategy, automation, compassion, without the fluff. I've got 37 years of marketing experience, and I'm bringing you death care thought leaders to share what works, what doesn't, and what is worth doing now. So let's get into it. Our guest today is Madison Bocker. She's an award-winning licensed funeral director with Huff Guthrie Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Inc., and a recipient of the Rising Star Award with OGR. Madison is part of a new generation of funeral professionals who are helping redefine what it means to serve families, not just after a loss, but as an active, trusted presence in the community. Madison, welcome to the Death Care Marketing Show. Yay. Hi, Madison. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you so much for taking the time out to be on the show. I absolutely admire you. Like, you are killing it, girl. Like, you just, you know, won a big award at an international association. You are blessing Adam and his company by coming on. So I think that everybody in this profession has a story. So you don't accidentally become a funeral director, right? So can you tell us a little bit as we get started about your journey and what drew you to funeral service?
Yeah, absolutely. This was not what I had planned to do at first. When I was a senior in high school, at the beginning of the year, I was already, you know, had my application sent to Savannah College of Art and Design. I was going to go to art school.
Did you know that my daughter went there?
I think you had mentioned it the first time we met. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm like, what? Like, my brain kicked in. I apologize. Okay. So you go ahead.
Yeah. So I was, I had sent my, you know, was working on my portfolio my senior year to send down there. I was fully intending to go live in Georgia, have fun down there. But it was really kind of strange how it happened. It was just kind of a God thing. You know, it just felt like a tap on the shoulder, and it's like, he pointed me in this direction. So I just kind of took it and ran with it. And it's, you know, everything's worked out really well so far. So I'm definitely blessed to have been, you know, put into this field, because it's certainly not something I'd ever, you know, thought of myself doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is amazing. And you're starting out at such a, considering you're 23 or 24?
Mm-hmm. I'm 23. I'm going to be turning 24 this year. Yeah.
Okay. A year younger than my daughter. And you are literally, like, I've talked to Adam privately, and he says he feels so blessed that you're on his team. And did you start off as an intern with him and then it transitioned to a full time, or how did that come about?
Pretty much. Yeah. So again, my senior year of high school, towards, you know, the middle end of the school year, I was working here just kind of part time, you know, helping out with whatever needed done, office things, yard work, stuff like that. And then during my time in mortuary school, I would come home on the weekends. It's about, you know, an hour and a half drive. So whenever I had a long weekend or I wasn't, you know, doing prep work at the school or anything like that, I'd come work on the weekends, visitations, that sort of thing. And then I did my what's called a practicum, which is through the mortuary school, but you have to get, you know, so many hours of work experience with a funeral home signed off. So I did that here. And then, you know, I did do my internship, and then Adam had offered me the position. So I was just thrilled, because, I mean, this is my hometown. I'm serving people that I grew up with, people that took care of me. I get to be close to my family. It's been a blessing. It really has been.
That is so cool. That's really cool. Like, a hometown story. And in fact, let's just share this now, because we're talking all about in the show about community events and how they really are a excellent way to market your company. And this show is all about showing funeral homes different ideas, right? Different ways to make their funeral home known before they're needed. And community events are perfect for that. And this is just one example. This isn't actually an event, but yesterday you did a really cool event we're going to talk about. But I was stalking you a little bit on Facebook, and I saw this picture, and I have to show this. So this is just one example something that you can do to establish yourself as a community leader. Tell me a little bit about this sign that's right in front of your building here.
Yeah. So this sign is something that Adam started. I think, you know, right when he had taken over the business a few years ago. He has always had a passion for caring for veterans through, you know, funeral care and pretty much everything he does. And he has made the funeral home a member of a group called Veteran Funeral Care based out of Florida. With that Veteran Funeral Care title, there's a few different things that we're allowed to do that are licensed by them, just to really help us honor those veterans and military families here in our area. But this sign, the Memorial Day We Remember signs, he gets one of these made every year. And the very first name is, you know, I think the first veteran family that he took care of, you know, under his ownership. And then all the way down at the bottom was the most recent veteran we had taken care of up until, you know, he sent that sign to be printed at the print company. But we stick this out on the yard every Memorial Day. And it just, this was, I think 2 years ago, we had a different size sign and we ended up needing to have two because there were so many names. We shrunk them down a little bit this year just to fit it all on one. But it's just, it's really cool to be a part of that with this funeral home. I have a lot of military family, so it's, you know, something close to my heart as well. But it's really cool the response we get from that.
And like I said, for people that are listening to the podcast, so I didn't mean to interrupt for a second, Madison. No, people listening to the podcast, they have no idea what we're looking at a picture. So again, you need to follow Huff3's social media on Facebook. It's a big sign that lists all the names of the veterans that they've served. And what you started to say about how it really reinforces the community. I love what the people who are recognizing this in front of your building said. If you're passing through Franklin, take a moment and stop by Huff Guthrie Funeral Home and pause. Displayed in front of the funeral home as part of their past Memorial Day celebration are the names of every veteran they have had the honor of caring for since 2017, creating a powerful tribute to the men and women who have served our country. Because a simple reminder that behind every name is a story, a family, and a legacy of service. Wow.
And that's exactly it. Yeah. Yep. They worded that very well on there. And it was so sweet of them to post that. They go around just to local businesses, organizations, events that are happening and post on Facebook about it. But it was really nice to just see that pop up on my feed, you know, and it wasn't even, you know, connected to, we didn't, you know, they posted it themselves. We didn't ask them to. It was just, it was a nice way.
Which makes it even more special that you're being recognized for how you show up in the community, which is great. Awesome. Oh, so one of the things that I find really exciting is hearing from young leaders like yourself, because you bring a fresh perspective while still honoring the traditions of the profession. So from where you sit, what do you think your generation sees differently about funeral service?
Ooh, that's a good question. I feel like we are the younger generations. We have grown up in all of the changes that have kind of happened in the past few years. People are more, you know, more into social media, more into technology. They're more into just this interesting social area that we're in. People aren't as, you know, they aren't as forward with people in public. I feel like it's a little bit harder to connect with people. Just again, because you're always on a screen, which, I mean, that's just the way the world is now. But I feel like younger funeral directors might have a little bit of a better way or a better understanding of how to connect with people through this time. I mean, because even, you know, 10 years ago, people communicated completely differently, you know? I mean, it feels like everything now is online and there's not as much in-person face-to-face conversation. So I think it's for older generations, I feel like that can definitely be a challenge. It's a challenge for me sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm still, things are still changing. We're still, you know, rapidly learning new things. But I feel like there's maybe a different understanding of those kinds of aspects. But I think it's, you know, it all goes hand in hand. The younger generations still definitely need those older funeral director generations, to you know, make it all mesh together, because it's, we're not serving sure. just one demographic, you know, I mean, it's, no. we're serving everyone.
So yeah. We really need what's nice is I think that, yeah, I think, I'm sorry. There's like a little delay. We always respect our elders, right? They bring the wisdom, they bring the tradition. And so it's honoring what has happened in the past. But what's nice is that you're almost creating this new wave mm-hmm. of people coming in. And I think that you're paving the way for other people to see this profession as something that if they have a servant's heart, if they yeah. want to serve and take care of people. You know, most people think, oh, I'll be a, you know, a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever, or a nurse or a teacher. But this is a different kind of care, right? You're helping people in, I mean, I call this sacred work, because you're helping people in what is most likely the lowest part time in their life. Absolutely. And you're lifting them up. And as you said earlier, it was definitely a calling that brought you into this. So you now have so many years in your future to be an example to other people who are going to be also rising stars like you, by the way. And if you guys don't know what it is, we are members of the International Order of the Golden Rule, which is an association of independent funeral homes all across the world. And this year, just a couple months ago, Madison won the Rising Star Award for her work and that to see potential in her. So, yay! I was really proud of you for that. Okay, so that kind of leads us into our next segment, because the problem is that funeral homes typically are invisible until they're needed. So let's start here. So most funeral homes spend thousands of dollars generating leads, but I think the bigger challenge is that many people in their community just don't know them until someone dies. So if I could ask you, why do you think owners should think about community engagement as marketing?
Yeah, so I think we really need to focus on that community engagement, just because if they don't see you, they're not gonna recognize you, you know? I mean, it's just like, I hate to say it, but it is very similar to you know, companies that advertise products. You know, you see right. the repetitive commercials, you hear the jingles, you hear all the things. And so, you know, your brain makes yeah. that association. So
right.
it's the same thing with funeral homes. If they, first of all, they make that association with your logo, the name of your funeral home, but not only that, but they're seeing your personality. They're seeing that you actually care about what you do. They're seeing that you care about the families that you're taking care of. You have an interest in their lives. You know, I mean, you're really wearing your heart on your sleeve. And I think people really respond to that. That's one of the biggest things that we hear, is that people just like getting to know us. And they like when we get to know them, you know, I mean, it's just, yeah. it's that personal connection that people really crave and that they need.
Yeah.
And then of course, you know, that translates to when they do need your services, they know that they can rely on you. They know that you're the person they can count on. And they're already comfortable with you. So it makes the process yeah. so much easier.
That's awesome. Yeah. Especially when they come to your facility or your building, do something that is honoring someone in their life. The next time they need you, they're going to think, oh, mm-hmm. I was comfortable there. So actually let's jump ahead a little bit, because I really want you to share about, you did such really cool events that brings the community together. So that's what we're talking about, the community engagement. You're engaging the community to come to your place to celebrate something that's not just death. So yesterday you did a butterfly release. Can mm-hmm. you tell us a little bit about it and get tactical? Like, why did you do it? What were, like, I know you've done it before. So kind of like, what is the process that you went through? How did you inspire the community to come? And and kind of what did you do physically to do this butterfly release? Because I absolutely love this concept.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is one of those, it can be a lighthearted event, but it can also be very touching for a lot of people. Adam has been doing this event for, oh, I'm not sure how long, probably another one of those things that he started when he, you know, took over the business.
Really? Oh my gosh. Back in 2017?
I'm not sure exactly how long, but I know he's been doing it yeah. since before I was here. But he's always had a good response to this. I think the part that people really like is, first of all, it's butterflies and they're beautiful and it's fun, you know? I think people like the idea of you kind of, you know, you send a wish with the butterfly. They're flying up into the sky. You know, there's hundreds of poems that you can find online and songs that are, oh, the butterfly is going to take a kiss to your loved one, send them a hug, mm-hmm. send them a special wish, that sort of thing. Really sweet in that aspect, but I think it's also very, I feel like it can be such a symbolic experience because yes, you're, you know, sending that wish off to your loved one. But I think just, you know, the symbolism of the butterfly flying away, it's, you know, you're setting your loved one free. You're, you know, moving on with your grief. And of course that grief is always there, but it's more of, you know, that transformation within right. your grieving process.
Literally letting it fly. And you mentioned the transformation, because obviously a butterfly mm-hmm. transforms from a caterpillar to a butterfly. So it is, because the stage of grief they're not linear, right? It's definitely mm-hmm. cyclical. Like mm-hmm. that will come back and hit you when you least expect it. But at the end of the day, we know that grief is just the product of love.
Exactly.
Grief is almost the gift that love gives you. If you didn't grieve, it's because you really didn't love. So what a gift that is. So exactly. When you bring people together, do you like circle up in the parking lot? Are you inside? Like funeral homes are going to probably want to know, how did you do it? And what did you do?
Yeah. So we did it actually a little bit differently this year than we did the past couple years. There's a restaurant right on the corner of the block that we're on that we work with a lot. They're called Bella Cucina. They help us out with our other events and stuff too. But normally we do hors d'oeuvres on their patio for about half an hour, just, you know, finger food, charcuterie, that sort of thing. And then we move over to the park, the city park that's directly across the street from the building. It's really convenient that our location is very convenient. Yeah. I will say that. So that makes this a lot easier to plan. But we would just gather everyone in Fountain Park right across the street after hors d'oeuvres. We have just a short service that we say it, we like to keep it short just because it keeps people's attention, but also we're outside when we do this. So we need to be careful with the weather. But we normally just bring one of our own speakers over and a microphone and we give our little speech. We have a couple poems that we read. We usually play a song in the middle of the service, just a short one. And then after we're done with that, we give instructions on how to release the butterflies. The place that we get our butterflies from, it's about an hour away. We pick them up in the morning. And they have butterflies in little individual, sorry, my camera's flipped. We have these little individual paper packages that they come in. There's two little tabs and you just like twist the package open and then they stretch their wings and they just fly right out. So we like to do that instead of like a batch release, just because they get to do it individually. And especially with people that bring their kids and stuff, they really enjoy that.
Have to ask a question because I've heard this happen. Is there very many that have made their own transition, so to speak, when the paper is open?
So we always get a few extras because that can happen. I don't think it happens very often, at least not from what I've noticed. Now, of course, that can also depend on the weather some years. I know last year we had some butterflies. We only had, I think, one or two that were not able to fly when they were released. But last year it was really humid out, so it took them a while to start moving.
Because they were too warm?
Just because it was so humid out, I think they just didn't want to fly because it was so hot outside. But we were in the shade, trees and bushes and stuff.
Yeah. Well, we're planning on a local client of ours wants to do this as well. We're going to combine it with a workshop. So we're trying to figure out, like, do we do the beginning? Do we take a break in between and then come back and talk about the symbolism, which might be kind of cool. But the funeral director said she's had experiences where it's a little traumatic for some of the people because they aren't always living. And so she said she likes to open the packages and put them like in a little, like a little box. And then so they're all kind of getting their groove. And then she likes to release them in mass. So that's why I asked you that, because I like the idea of having everyone twist and let their own go out. So It's nice to know that it hasn't happened very much that they.
Yeah. And like I said, we always have some extras just in case, you know, it happens, but we've been pretty lucky the past few years. So
good. Yeah. Good. I'm glad. Okay. Awesome. And, okay. So, excuse me. So I always like to have a framework in a show. And because the show is about being known before you're needed, the acronym that I like to use with known is K is for keep showing up, because visibility isn't just one event, it's consistency. So we're going to talk about some of the other events you do. N is for nurturing relationships, because you need to serve before you sell. O is for offer value, education, support, experiences people absolutely love. W is for welcome everyone. Your building should feel approachable before it's ever needed. And N is never stop serving your community. I know it's probably hard to remember what those all are, but I wanted to ask you, which concept do you think most funeral homes struggle with the most? Mm-hmm. Showing up, nurturing relationships, offering value, welcoming everyone, and never stop serving their communities.
Honestly, I feel like the nurturing of communities can be a little difficult. For us personally, I feel like we have a little bit of an advantage, being that we're in a small town. We do have two other funeral homes in town. So we're not like the only one, you know, in the area, but we are the only ones that really do, you know, more than just a Christmas service, which the Christmas services are fantastic. I love when funeral homes do those. I think they're very valuable for the families that they serve. But we have a little bit of an advantage there just because we know so many people in the community because it's such a small town. We have a lot of connections with the other local businesses that help get the word out, that sort of thing. But I think, you know, definitely nurturing those relationships ahead of time is where a lot of places can struggle. The majority of our events, we don't typically turn anyone away. Our events are open to the public. So it's not, you know, you don't have to be served by our funeral home, to use our resources here.
That's awesome.
So it does kind of open that door for other families, you know, if they would want to, you know, if they haven't used us at all yet, you know, that gives them the opportunity to talk to us, get to know us, see what we do, what we can offer, the resources that we have. And that, again, it just really opens that door and it gets your name out there more. And again, it just makes people more comfortable with you. But I feel like that can be hard for some funeral homes, especially if you're in a large area with a ton of funeral homes. If there's a lot of events going on.
It does make you stand out. I mean, like what you're doing is because there's three in your community. You're outshining the other two because you're doing more events. And let's talk about other. So you do a painting class, and you do the holiday one. But I love the painting one. So tell us a little bit about what you do with them.
Yeah, so those paint classes, we started doing those. I think during my internship is when we started doing those because I actually had time since I was done with school.
But and artistic, obviously. You wouldn't have wanted to go to SCAD if you're not artistic.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was really excited to kind of start implementing that with our aftercare program. It kind of touches on some things that I'm passionate about there. But I'd say, you know, every few months, I don't think we have like a set schedule on how many we do a year. You know, every few months we'll do a paint class. It's almost like a paint and sip without the sip. we don't provide alcohol, but you know, if we do them at, usually at that restaurant that's up on the corner, Bella Cucina, they have a back private room there. So if they want to order something, they can, but that's not, you know, the main point at all. But we, I'll come up with some kind of seasonal painting. I'll, you know, look on Pinterest and stuff, but I try to keep it somewhat original just so it's unique. And then I will try to come up with some sort of grief related lesson to go along with that painting. So let me think of one of the last ones we did.
We did one at our local one, which was a Valentine's theme.
Yeah.
And we were making, did I tell you about that?
I saw something on Facebook about it.
Okay. Yeah. We wanted it to let people like make a Valentine for their loved one in heaven. And so it was a very like, and my daughter actually was the one who led the class, which is kind of fun. So it was all about, you know, talking about putting messages into the back of the painting, and you could make it so it's visible. Or some people wrote a private message on a piece of parchment, and then they placed it in the back and they put it over it. So they knew that message was there, or a verse or a scripture or something, a verse from like a song or something. It was so touching. And, you know, people said, well, I'm not artistic or whatever. And I said, well, maybe you could make it as a gift to your daughter. You know, it's therapeutic for you to do the art because it helps you release. And sometimes in a community, working side by side is very good for mental health as well.
Yeah.
But it could be a gift for someone that's still living to remember of their mom. You know, I was like trying to pull ideas. So, so what was your one that you think was the most popular? What theme?
Our last one people really enjoyed. We did, a rendition of Monet's Water Lilies. That one was really fun. I think they were a little intimidated at first because it looks like it takes a lot of artistic talent. You're just putting blobs on a canvas. but they really enjoyed that one. They loved it. Oh my gosh, everyone did so well. I know, what's another one that they really enjoyed?
I'm gonna have to stalk your page and go.
Yeah, there was one we did last summer, and it was on a black background. We did mason jars with sparklers coming out of them. It was letting your love still light up. Remember how we worded that, but it was like, even though your life can feel like it's in a dark spot with the grief that you're in the grieving process, like that love that you have for that person still shines, is essentially what that message was. But they really enjoyed that one. They all did a great job on that one as well. Yeah.
That's really cool. And it's something that, again, you could probably put in your office or your bookshelf or whatever, as a little remembrance of when I've been seeing people take ashes and put that into the painting. I've seen it in professional shows. You have a professional artist, but I think there wouldn't be anything wrong with taking a little ashes out of the urn and sprinkling it into the, you know, glitter. I don't know. You could be as creative as you want. There's no limits to it. But Oh, good. I actually gave you an idea. I thought you'd be. You don't really. Wow, that's so fun. Okay, so in this next segment, we talk about case examples, like what you've seen, because I know you've been in the industry now technically for 5 years, about 4 years. How long have you been?
I'd say probably more four. Yeah.
Four. Okay. Still, I mean, you've seen a lot of things. So of communities that you've done so far, we've talked about the butterfly release, talked about painting, you know, the holiday party, or not party, but remembrance. Tell us about a community event. What surprised you? Was it the feedback families gave you? Are the relationships that you see keep people coming back for them? Or like, what was your favorite event? Like, kind of like in that perspective.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I lost you there for a second.
Oh, sorry, the connection. Yeah. No, I said, tell us about a community event. And maybe it's not even yours. Maybe it's something you've seen other people do in other parts. You go to events and you see what other people do. What was your favorite? What was an event that maybe exceeded your expectations? Maybe is surprised about the feedback you got from people, or that you've seen people come back again and again because they like one element. One thing that gave an idea to another funeral home that will encourage them to do these events.
Let's see. I feel like I'm always surprised by the feedback to all of them, just because people are so sweet and they really do enjoy these events and they enjoy getting connected. I feel like I'm in between two. So I'd say either we did a charcuterie board class, and we also did a bus trip to the National Cemetery of the Alleghenies. That's our closest national cemetery here to Franklin. It's I think it's like an hour and a half, hour 45 drive, maybe a little less than that. But both of those, a great response. And now those are two very, very different groups of people that we had there. One was a part of our aftercare program. And then the other one, of course, would be, you know, more focused on our military families and right. families that maybe haven't used us yet, but are looking into pre-arranging that sort of thing.
Right. That's brilliant, actually. Yeah. So you rent a bus and yep. then people get on and that is really cool because people love that kind of stuff. Like we did a tour of Forest Lawn, I think during that conference that you and I attended. Mm-hmm. And I had been there for funerals and it's a gorgeous cemetery. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. But nice the tour is that you hear the stories and the history and it's fascinating. So that is mm-hmm. brilliant. So again, funeral owner, if you're listening, look for things that would be interesting to people. And it doesn't have to be at your facility, as you just mm-hmm. mentioned. It could be at a restaurant. It could be in a park. It could be a tour of something that people are fascinated with. I love that. Okay. So now we always talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we've just talked about the good. You know, obviously a couple events are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Is there something, and we're just going to combine bad and ugly. And again, no names. We don't shame. But is there something you've seen that is kind of cringeworthy? That, you know, that maybe a funeral home has tried and you're like, oh man, back your truck up. Like, don't go there. So it could save someone that hurdle. That they don't have to jump over.
Honestly, I feel like the funeral homes that are putting themselves out there, you can't really say anything too negative about it. I mean, different things work for different people. Now I've seen
the fact they're putting themselves out there. I hear what you're saying.
The fact that they're putting themselves out there and to do that is just leaps and bounds ahead of so many other firms that could be utilizing that as something to help them grow. But honestly, I mean, I've seen a couple things just on social media that I'm like, you know, maybe that probably not the approach I would take for that. But I mean, it gets people engaged. It gets people interested in talking to them. It familiarizes people with your business and with, you know, what you do at your funeral home.
I love it.
Me personally, I don't, I'm not the biggest fan of getting too into detail with some of the preparations that we do just with the general public. I mean, if people have questions and they want to talk to me about it, I will absolutely have a conversation with them. I'm all about making sure people are educated and they know what's going on and, you know, being very transparent and honest with people. But it's also just for me, that's one of those things where, again, if you would want to come to me and you have questions and you want to have a conversation, I'll do that. I personally wouldn't be the one to put it on display. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. There's people like that very tastefully. Just for me personally, not the approach I would want to take.
Right. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody's comfortable with that kind of stuff, but some people are totally into it. Mm-hmm. It's not, no, the door's always open. I was going to say something I was thinking about when we were talking about the good, bad, ugly, like you wouldn't have someone dress up as the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, and that's probably
not. Visit a senior home to pass out cards. Yeah. Like that would be the ugly. Don't do that.
Yeah. But I mean, another thing that we do, you know, we use our, we put the hearse out front of the funeral home. There is what's it called? Basically an alliance of the local businesses in town. We do a trick or treat that's different than the community trick or treat. It's a different day. We all the storefronts will, you know, pass out candy. So we put the hearse out front and I decorated in the back. Like I disinfect everything. Don't worry. We're clean. We're good. We'll sit in the back and we have a music playlist and hand out candy. And, you know, I'm sure that there are funeral directors out there that would be just absolutely mortified that we do that. And I get it. I do. But again, see, there's different things that aren't for everyone, but that's something that works for us. We get a lot of engagement. Kids are always super interested. So,
yeah. No, I actually applaud you. I think that people are interested. We'll walk over. Others will step back, mm-hmm. and that's okay. We actually did we won a award with OGR, a community award. Mm-hmm. We did a Day of the Dead, Dios de los Muertos event. We mm-hmm. hosted, we licensed Coco, the movie, in the chapel because you already have the screens. So we made popcorn and we had non-sticky sodas, so like sparkling waters with flavors and things like that. and so people came in and watched that. But to promote it, because it was the week after Halloween, again, we didn't want to compete with all the community events. We went to the community Halloween event in the local like shopping center, and we brought a demo coffin, the lightweight ones, the wicker, and we filled it with candy. And we had like a light coming out of it and even like a little skeleton. And then, but we had helpers that were dressed up. And so people could, if they want, we would put candy in their bag. But for the ones who wanted to, they reached their hand in the coffin to get it. And it was, it was clear. It was so light. But you know what? They loved it. And we were passing out like postcard invitations to come to the movie the next weekend. And yeah, people just dug it. They were taking pictures of it. And they're like, this is so cool. And yeah, so one little kid goes, can I get in? I'm like, no, not today. But thank you for asking, you know? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this one is, segment is called Rapid Fire. So I want you to finish these sentences. This first thing that comes off your tongue. Community engagement is
necessary. Necessary.
The biggest myth. Necessary to grow. I agree. The biggest myth about funeral home marketing is
that it has to be complicated.
I love that. The easiest event to host is.
Oh, I don't know. Oh my gosh, that one's tough. Easiest event to host. Picnic? Cookout? That could be pretty easy.
Oh, that would be cool. I like that. The future of funeral home the future of funeral homes belong to those who
put themselves out there.
Love it. That's awesome. Okay. So here's the fast fix. If a funeral home owner wanted to become more visible in the next 30 days, what would you tell them to do first?
Get on your Facebook page. I know not everyone likes it. I make Facebook videos for our page every now and then. It's not my favorite thing ever either, but it works. People will recognize it. I cannot tell you how many times we have had people, you know, that come in to go to a visitation and they're, oh my gosh, I love what you're doing on Facebook. I love your videos, you know, and it, again, it's one of those things that just, it's an easy way to get yourself out there. You can do it. You don't even need someone to manage your page. You can just do it for free. You know, you don't have to pay for that advertising, but it gets your face out there. It gets your name out there. It gets all of your marketing, you know, your logos, your different events, your, you know, if you have, you know, packages even, and you want to put those on your Facebook page, it's easily accessible and a lot of people will see it that way.
I love it. And once you get people used to coming there for inspiration, for education, obviously you're going online, people, it normalizes a little bit and they're like, oh, yes. I like it. Like, it's one of our local client, we do a death care marketing show and death care. It's called, that's what this show is. Death care marketing show. It's called Dialogues About Death. And, I had an interesting idea about an event that I get your opinion on. But anyway, but we go live about once a month and then we use the content from that show and we repurpose it. Little nuggets. So Chris will brilliantly off the cuff say something that's so deep, like, oh, that's great, you know, so we'll cut that segment and we use that. So people are always like sharing his content because they're like, it's something that would hit home to someone who's going through it. He's a widow, you know, he lost his dad, like he said he's a better funeral director because of the loss, and it's made him like go deeper in his empathy. So that it's not really an event we're talking about today, but these are little events on Facebook. And so it's a great way also to promote your local events. Like, hey, we're having, like, I saw your butterfly release on Facebook. And I was like, that's so cool. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. So here was the idea that I was going to share with you. So we have a local chili cook-off and, and we had the idea of creating a chili called Death Chili. And then we thought about having like a cauldron and a cow bone that we would have someone stirring the chili. Do you think that's too far? Do you think it's a little too far?
I feel like you can come up with a, a little bit of a different name for it because I like that idea, but I feel like there's another pun in there somewhere that would do really well.
There's gotta be.
Man, I like it. I think that's fun. I think if you're in the crowd that goes to a chili cook-off, I feel like that's the kind of humor that you're going to like.
Yeah.
Well, I say that as most people.
They have like ghost chili, right? Which is like a really like a hot chili. You could say something about, like, we'll sit here and brainstorm, but something about like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't ghost me.
There's definitely a lot of different avenues you can go down with that. I mean, cause that's big with people that are like really into like trying different hot sauces and like seeing how, like what heat tolerance they can handle. There's some crazy names on those too. So I'm sure you could find something fun like that.
Right. I know one of our favorite shows as a family is that Hot Shots. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
We like that. He asks them questions. So if anybody hasn't seen it, it's this interviewer who's brilliant. He asks them deep questions, but every time they have to take a shot of a hotter sauce. So as a progressive, they're literally crying. These are famous like celebrities. They're literally crying as they're answering the question. So they get really real because it's hard to like be fake when you're like sweating on camera. Yeah. So, well, thank you for letting me pass that by you. That's so funny. Well, that's it for the show. Madison, thank you so much for this conversation because, you know, it reminds us that marketing isn't about getting louder. It's about becoming familiar, right? Families don't choose a funeral home that they've seen the most ads from. Choose the one that they know, the one that they trust, the one that has been showing up long before they needed them, right? So if this helped everyone, share it with a funeral home who might need it. Let's do what works. Let's drop what doesn't. And we'll see you next time on the Death Care Marketing Show. Thanks, Madison. Have a great day. God bless.
Good to see you.
Stick on and I'll be right back.